and urinary tract infections, UTIs, including the dreaded cystitis, peeing, razor blades. Many women and some men know the symptoms, that needing to go to the toilet constantly with that painful burning. But for something that's so common, there's often confusion on how best to treat them. Do antibiotics help and to what extent? What about over-the-counter remedies? Well, new research has brought together the most reliable evidence on treating UTIs to see when it's appropriate to take a wait-and-see approach. And one of its authors joins us now, Tammy Hoffman. Welcome to The Health Report.
Hi, Tegan. Hi, Norman.
So most women would know this as cystitis. Is that what we're talking about today?
Yes, an uncomplicated urinary tract infection.
And what did your study find was the best way to treat them?
So we actually looked at what happens if you don't treat a UTI, usually because the conventional kind of practice has always been to offer antibiotics. We were actually interested in what happens if you don't treat with antibiotics and you just wait and see, does it fall into the category of sort of one of these self-remitting diseases that gets better spontaneously? So we did a systematic review of any randomised trial that had a placebo group in which the placebo didn't treat. And so there was only three trials that have looked at this that had a placebo group. Most of them had compared different types of antibiotics. And we found that about a third of women seemed to get better within the first week without any antibiotic treatment.
Why is this sort of research important?
Because an antibiotic overuse is a big problem. So one of the antibiotics that's commonly used to treat UTI is trimethoprim, and it's got quite high resistance rates. And so as well as the problem of resistance, if you take an antibiotic that you may not need, there's also the problem of the side effects that a lot of people experience with antibiotics, so rash and diarrhea and vomiting. So if there's a condition for which a treatment is not needed, in this case, antibiotics, then the option of not treating should be explicitly explained to the patient as being a legitimate option.
I mean, having a UTI sucks, I speak from personal experience. Are women willing to wait, or do they just want medication straight away?
So some of the research that's looked at this, so the option that we were saying is should be explicitly explained is something called a wait and see with a sort of a backup prescription. So they're given the prescription and said, just give it a few days, see if it improves without it, but a list of kind of red flags, things to be aware of, to watch for if it does get worse. So the women have got the prescription if they decide to use it. And so that option of sort of just waiting and seeing, but with a backup prescription. Some of the studies that have looked at the acceptability of that have found that up to about half of patients find that an acceptable option.
So this paper is part of a series that's aiming to help doctors help their patients make informed decisions using a framework called shared decision making. And part of the goal is to reduce antibiotic use. What kind of barriers are there for patients and doctors when it comes to reaching a shared decision?
So I think knowing that what all the options are, so in this series of papers or projects that we've been doing where one option is explicitly not treat and just kind of a wait and watch or wait and see, I think there's little awareness among clinicians and the public that actually just waiting and seeing is often a legitimate option. Also, then there needs to be some talk about what the benefits and the harms are of all the options, so the do nothing or the immediately treat, and having the evidence to hand, kind of the numbers and the benefits and harms ready in a consultation for a clinician to use with the patient, that's one of the barriers.
It was interesting you said before that there wasn't actually very much that looked at things that weren't antibiotics, but there's a lot of sort of popular wisdom that there are over-the-counter remedies that can work for cystitis. Did you look at that in your study as well?
We synthesised the evidence that's there, also looked at the existing systematic reviews that have been done, and there's no evidence that any of these sort of over-the-counter remedies have any effect.
So we often hear that doctors are over-prescribed or are prescribing the wrong antibiotics for cystitis. Is shared decision-making a way to help tease that out as well?
So the shared decision-making usually wouldn't go into which particular antibiotic. If the patient decides after hearing what the options are and the benefits and harms of the option, and if they decided that they'd like immediate antibiotics, it wouldn't usually go into particular antibiotic preferences, but it could based on, you know, clinical history. But it's generally just making sure that that decision whether to proceed immediately with antibiotics or just wait and see if the infection gets better on its own is something that's discussed and considered by both the patient and the doctor.
So the papers that you've written are very much primarily for a medical audience, but what do you hope that the general woman and the occasional man takes away from the work that you're doing?
That they feel free to ask their doctor and indeed are encouraged to say, so what are my options? What happens if I do nothing? And that then the doctors will have the answers to help have a collaborative discussion about what the next best steps are for that patient in that circumstance.
What about the doctors themselves? Is there resistance to shared decision making? Do they perhaps worry that their patient satisfaction is that their patients aren't going to be satisfied if this is the approach that they take?
Actually, usually shared decision making results in higher levels of patient satisfaction. So patients often feel more collaboratively involved in the decision, and they feel that some of the things that may not have previously been discussed are discussed in a more sort of structured way. So it actually leads to usually increased satisfaction with consultation and communication.
Tammy Hoffman, thank you so much for joining us on the Health Report.
Thank you, Tegan.
Tammy Hoffman is Professor of Clinical Epidemiology at the Institute for Evidence-Based Healthcare at Bond University.